Did the Jays dig the inning?
Google products are designed to help you find relevant local news. Learn how Google supports news in Canada at g.co/news in Canada.
I have an expression I often use, which is, you know, we'll talk for 2 minutes about something and I'll say this is part of a longer conversation. And a much longer conversation is going to be unfolding in the months to come about medical assistance in dying. And that's because the parameters for MAID are expanding. And we've reached the point where pretty well anybody can apply for medical assistance in dying. You could just be suicidal, but you want the state to do it for you, basically. And that raises a lot of questions. And I came across a fascinating quote in a profile about this recently from a man named Tim Stainton. He's the director of the Canadian Institute for Inclusion and Citizenship at the University of British Columbia. And he compared expanding MAID to, effectively the old practice of taking disabled people and, either neutering them or killing them. And I'll let him explain in his own words because he's here right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
The article that you are quoted in paints a very disturbing portrait of where we are headed with medical assistance in dying. And in particular, one man who arranged for his own death because he was so distressed at the fact that he was losing his hearing. These seem to be increasingly these kinds of cases, and they're appalling.
I agree. And I wouldn't say where we're heading. I would say where we're at and where we're heading as well. Yeah, the Alan Nichols case was tragic. Now the hearing thing's a little bit of a red herring. That's what went on the form. But he was a man who had some issues through his life with depression and struggling, went into the hospital for other reasons, and then without consultation with his family or even informing them, was offered an access MAID. And so, yeah, that's a tragic case, which, you know, we are about to legalize MAID for mental illness as the sole underlying condition. So I think we're going to see a lot more stories like that in the future. But we're also seeing, unfortunately, a lot of cases where people are choosing assisted death because they can't get the means for an assisted life. So they're quite explicit about this.
Now, you're probably aware that in Ontario, owing to the fact that we just reintroduced the budget, there's a huge debate over support for people with disabilities. And the Disability Support Program provides about $1,100, and they topped that up with 5%. I mean, is that part of the issue?
Absolutely. Disabled people generally, statistically, are the poorest group, if you like, compared to the general population. Poverty is a huge issue. And, you know, Ontario is relatively generous in their disability supports comparatively, but that still does not bring you up to the poverty line, even with your increase. There is no province that offers disability assistance that brings you up to our government's stated poverty lines. And that's the reality. So you're statistically most likely, if you're disabled, to be poor, unemployed, have unmet needs for disability supports. You can understand now that we allow it. And I should point out, disability is the only specific category mentioned in the law. So it's illness, disease, or disability, which wasn't as big an issue when the reasonably foreseeable death criteria was there, because you still had to be dying. Once you remove that, simply by having a disability and saying you're suffering irredeemably, and the cause of that suffering isn't relevant. It can be psychological, social, physical. Yeah, they're really the only population now that can access euthanasia simply by having a disability.
It's generally, when you're having a debate about something, a mistake to reference the Nazis, Nazi Germany. But you have actually said that this is nigh on to eugenics. It's the purging of the weakest in our society because we regard them as useless.
Yeah, and I mean, just for clarity's sake, I didn't directly compare this to that, but said this is the biggest threat to their life since that time. But yeah, and it's obviously not like the Holocaust. And Action T4 was the first act of the Holocaust, which was a law that allowed for the elimination of disabled people in Germany. So there's a history here, but it has the same impact, right? So if you're not going to provide the supports, people are going to take this option. So if you like, call the soft eugenics, and I'm not suggesting somebody is sitting there in Ottawa saying, how can we get rid of the disabled? But that's the impact of this law.
So what's the way forward? Because, I mean, the courts made a ruling that we had to expand access to medical assistance in dying. Is there any ability or willingness at the government level that we're going to say, okay, let's get back to the original intent? This is about somebody dying of cancer who would like to go out 2 weeks early.
Right. You know, it's always possible for government to change back to adjust the law, to improve it. They claim they've put in safeguards, but in fact, none of them are particularly useful. So they could go back. And in fact, it's actually a bit of a misnomer that they had to act on the Quebec court decision. It's they have to consider it, but the federal government doesn't necessarily have to comply with the provincial court decision. Plus, in almost any other circumstances, they would have appealed that decision to Supreme Court to get a clear doctrine. They chose not to in this case. Ironically, at the same time, they chose to appeal the decision to award the residential school children. They happy to appeal that to Supreme Court,
yeah,
but not this. And I mean, the other piece that is even more shocking, and I don't think a lot of Canadians are aware of, is in the C-7 debate, a senator introduced an amendment that requires Canada to allow people with psychiatric illness only to access MAID. That was explicitly excluded in the original government, and the government just quietly accepted that amendment. They rejected a lot of the others, as they usually do, but quietly did. So that's been the story of MAID. This has been a very quiet but rapid slide down a slippery slope, which we were told in the Carter decision didn't exist. But clearly it does.
So here we are.
And we've had no serious review. They brought in C-7 before the required 5-year review of the law, their own requirement. So it's very frustrating for disabled people. And it's like watching a train wreck in slow motion, because it doesn't seem like the government wants to listen or cares to listen, despite every disability organization in the country, despite 5 UN special rapporteurs, despite our own human rights commissioner saying this is a problem. The government says, no, we got it under control. We got our safeguards. So if it's sorry, you could probably sense the frustration in my voice, because it is just, I have never seen anything like in Canadian social policy, and I can't explain it. It's a train wreck in slow motion.
Tim, thank you for this.
All right. Thanks, John. Take care.
That is Tim Stainton. He's director of the Canadian Institute for Inclusion and Citizenship at the University of British Columbia.
What's the latest on the housing crisis? Did the Jays dig the inning?
What's going on with passport lines?
Google products are designed to help you find relevant local news from reliable publications, big and small. Learn how Google supports news in Canada at g.co/newsincanada.